Yeah, I talked to, like, for instance, there's this plastic surgeon. I talked to a realtor. I talked to a lawyer. The iPad has been a liberating productivity and business tool for such people.
Well, when you're a good reporter, you get to talk to a lot of people, and that's Julio Ojeda Zapata, the technology writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, as well as author of books. Today, we're going to talk to him about his latest book, iPad Means Business. And those in the opening are just a couple of the folks that he spoke with about how the iPad and mobile computing on any tablet is really changing the way they do business. And so in this conversation with Julio, we get into the whole concept of mobile computing, what it means for marketers, what it means for society. So that's an interesting and eye-opening conversation. And then tomorrow, in part two of this conversation, we'll also have how he has changed the way he relates to PR people and corporate communicators via social media. And so that'll be in the next episode of our conversation with Julio Ojeda Zapata. His blog is ojezap.com, and that's where you can get links to all kinds of his writing, including his latest book, iPad Means Business. Before I get into our conversation with Julio, let me throw something out there about how I use mobile computing. I coach youth basketball for a number of years. And many years ago, I used to use a program called JessSoft, J-E-S-S-O-F-T, and downloaded it on a laptop and brought the laptop to practice. And on there, we would have animated programs. And in fact, this was and still is a community of coaches where you could upload drills and plays, and the community kind of adds and participates among themselves. Well, now this whole area of mobile computing has given birth to many applications, whether it's on Android or the iOS operating system. And so if you're into coaching at all, in any sport, I guarantee you, you can find a coaching application that will help you connect with the players, especially if you're in youth basketball, get them to see concepts and plays on a platform, quite frankly, that they're used to, which is a video platform. And I found it to be a tremendous help in coaching youth basketball. So here is now our conversation with Julio Ojeda Zapata. Julio, welcome to the Marketing Edge program. A repeat for you.
Hey, Albert, how are you?
Excellent. You know, Julio and I talked when his first book came out about Twitter Means Business a couple years back. And so this is a repeat visit for Julio. And Julio and I are very active in the Twin Cities social media space. And so I want to first talk about, because he is such a good writer and for the Pioneer Press and also on his blog, that it's important for folks listening to the Marketing Edge. They're always asking, you know, how do I figure out how to reach journalists, or how has the relationship changed between journalists and communicators, whether they're PR folks or just resources that journalists use. And I know over the years, Julio and I have talked about this and how his day has changed because of social media, and now, Julio, because of the iPad. Your day continues to change, and the types of products that you interact with and how you communicate, right?
Yeah, an interesting thing has happened, and it's been sort of a gradual progression. I have paid less and less attention to what device I'm on and more attention to the information that I'm trying to get through the device. I go from computer to phone to tablet to back to computer, and I'm doing a series of things. I'm communicating with people, I'm writing, and so on and so forth, but these are all tasks that I do in increments, and I just sort of bounce from device to device, and I sort of lose the awareness that I'm on a particular device, it's device A or device B, and I'm focusing more on the cloud, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish on the internet. It's you know, I sort of sat back and realized that the other day. Like, for instance, if I'm reading an Amazon Kindle book, I might start it on a Mac laptop, then, you know, switch to a Kindle, then maybe do a little bit of reading on the bus with an Android phone or an iPhone, and on and on, and Amazon always remembers, you know, my place in the book, so it's a sort of a seamless transition from device to device. So that's been very interesting. The iPad, you know, definitely fits into that.
Should brands be concerned about that? That's an interesting thing that you raised. I mean, it really is the information is most important. Is the device less important because of that?
Well, it's not that the device is less important. It's that people are using a wider variety of devices. New kinds of devices have come on the scene. Smartphones are essentially powerful pocket computers now. You know, that was unheard of 5 years ago. Tablets are an entirely new category. So the hardware ecosystem is becoming more varied. It's not that the devices have become less important. It's that there are more kinds of devices. And so people that are trying to convey information to whatever audience need to keep that in mind.
Mm. Yeah, we Julio was on a panel that I moderated for the Social Media Breakfast not too long ago, a few weeks back in November. And this issue came up in a different way, where we focused on maybe the network is more important now because of speed. And you, I know you're a big, big cloud computing user, and you've taught me a thing or two about using Google effectively. So that's those are two issues, both the network and the cloud platform, that I think has risen in importance over the last maybe 12 months. Not usurping necessarily the device, as you mentioned, but these devices have become similar in nature, and so maybe the pendulum is swinging a little bit toward either network or platform in terms of the cloud.
Yeah, my love affair with cloud computing was prompted initially by my paranoia about losing information, losing files, losing something I was working on, and so I sort of set up a system, you know, where all my documents, all my critical documents and so forth are stored in the cloud so I can access them from any device. But this led to a lifestyle change that I've described earlier, where I am no longer wedded to a particular device. If I'm at home, for instance, on the home iMac, which is the primary gaming platform for my kid will literally walk into the office and kick me off the computer. You know, I let him do that. It's fine. He literally kicks me off the computer, and whatever I'm doing, I just pause, grab a laptop or grab an iPad, and then continue. And it's an almost unconscious thing right now. I don't have to stop what I'm doing because I can just pick it up on any other device. And so it's an interesting lifestyle change that Apple, for instance, has its finger on, because the iPad doesn't have a lot of onboard storage. It's to a very large extent a cloud-based device, and so it fits perfectly within that ecosystem and that lifestyle.
Sure, and then the Air is similar in nature and concept, right?
The
Mac Air.
Yeah, the latest Apple laptops have incorporated a lot of iPad-like features. The boundary between laptop and tablet is beginning to blur. Another good example of that is the Galaxy Tab, which is essentially an oversized Android phone. And if you look at it a certain way, it looks like an oversized Android phone. If you look at it another way, it's a tablet that's somewhat smaller than the iPad. And it presents an interesting proposition for people who want one device that can let them do a lot of things.
Now, in your reporting, you always dig deep into the business angle of things, and you do a lot of a lot of examples. You talk to a lot of people in your reporting on books. It's less concept and theory, and you devote a good bit of time to practical applications, which is why I think a lot of people like reading your work. Now, in this iPad Means Business, what were some of the not applications, meaning program applications, but business applications that you found to be most effective and creative?
Some of the highlights for me include remote access, like, for instance, services like GoToMeeting and LogMeIn. And LogMeIn, for instance, has a LogMeIn Ignition app that you can stick on your iPad. And if you have your computers back at home or at the office set up a certain way, you can just tap, you do a couple of taps on the iPad and remotely access your computer on the tablet. I describe in my book one time when I was at my kids' soccer practice, and I realized there was something on my work computer that I needed to see right then and there to sort of solve a problem. I panicked initially, but then realized I could just pull out the iPad, fire up the app, and access my computer from afar and control the cursor with my finger instead of a mouse. It's kind of mind-blowing. Another example is there's an app called Simple Note. Simple Note is very interesting. When I travel for business, I like to use that for writing because the Simple Note service is always backing up everything you write. It backs it up to the cloud, and it's safe there. So if somebody steals your iPad, they don't steal your information because it's already backed up. And in fact, I did a little experiment. I was at Panera, and I actually had two iPads on that trip, and, you know, just for giggles, I set up the two iPads side by side with Simple Note, and I typed something on Simple Note on one iPad, and whoosh, you know, within 2 seconds it appeared on in Simple Note on the other iPad. And you can access that information on your computer as well. So that's where it gets back to the cloud computing. I had these moments of amazement, you know, when I was able to do certain things with the iPad that sort of boosted my productivity. And gave me powers that, you know, that I didn't have before.
You have a website where you're going to carry on some of the subsequent conversations about iPad Means Business?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to padforwork.com.
Padforwork.com. Padforwork.com.
Yeah, that's a site where you can find out about my book, but I'm going to, you know, blog frequently about this topic. So, you know, I encourage people to buy my book, obviously, but the site will sort of carry on. We'll have, you know, up to date information.
And follow Julio on OJEZAP. OJEZAP. Now, the book is out now. Can I purchase it for a friend for Christmas?
Yeah, it hasn't popped up on Amazon quite yet, but you can buy it from my publisher directly. And you can find my publisher by either going to happyabout.info or look for my book via my homepage, which is ojezap.com. You know, either way, you'll quickly get to my publisher's website. And you can order the book in ebook form. And if you order the book in ebook form, it'll work on an iPad, a Nook, a computer. It's very, you know, very flexible. Or you can buy the physical copy of the book, and that is going to be out, I believe, next week.
Do you see this iPad being used replacing a clipboard? Is this really the digital clipboard? And then explain where does it go from there, right? Because the reason to capture any information digitally is really to do something else with it. So what are the two or three professions that you think this mobile computing power is going to impact?
Well, almost any profession. I talk to lawyers, I talk to surgeons, I talk to small business people. Almost everybody in a business setting who I interviewed for the book told me that iPad was kind of a mind blower because it was a lot easier to pull out and get to work on than a laptop, because a laptop you have to open and you have to boot up. And it's kind of awkward to hold if you're standing up. The iPad, on the other hand, is if you're using it, if you're on your feet, you know, moving about and needing to access information, you can cradle it or hold it like a clipboard. And people also told me time and time again that the iPad also felt to them like a piece of paper, in the sense that if they're in a meeting and they want to give some, you know, share some information with people, much as they would like hand somebody a piece of paper, they are now handing them the iPad. So the iPad is being passed, you know, from hand to hand.
Mm.
I talked to people where they would have multiple iPads in meetings, and people would be all accessing the same information. I talked to people who, you know, when they were in the meetings in the past, they would have to sort of make a note to look something up on their computer later, and their minds are blown now because that is a thing of the past. If they have a if they need to look something up, well, just look it up, you know, right there on the iPad. And so it's changing the business dynamic of how people interact with each other in meetings, how people interact with each other remotely, because you can, if there's a go to meeting, you know, web meeting going on, you can join that with the iPad. You don't necessarily need a computer. So how people interact with each other in a business setting is changing, you know, fairly dramatically because of the iPad.
You've had some folks write in the book, Patrick Roan and Scott Bourne. Scott Bourne, a wonderful guy, who's from here originally. I think, I don't know if he was born here, but
I wrote about him quite a bit in the Pioneer Press years ago.
Great guy, net radio guy, was one of the first guys to really see the power of audio online back in the early adoption days of broadband.
He's a pioneer, definitely.
But both of them seem to think that the iPad is a information consumption device and not an information creation device. But I think, particularly in what you mentioned about medical, I think it's a terrific content creation device in the sense that you're able to add to some template, right? You're able to add bits of content that complete a picture. So a diagnosis, for example, or a bedside gathering of information, inputting it, to me, is content creation as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I talked to, like, for instance, there's this plastic surgeon who is kind of a Mac nut, Apple nut, and he set up his clinic in such a way that people as they're getting ready in the waiting area to be seen, they can, like, fill out forms, they can sign, you know, consent forms with their fingers right on the screen. I talked to a realtor who, you know, went on a train trip, and she needed to get some work done, and as an experiment, she just left her laptop behind, and she worked on her flyers, you know, using the Apple's Pages program, and she had the templates already set up, and then she could just do adjustments on the iPad, you know, fairly easily. I talked to a lawyer who, he doesn't like to work in his office. He likes to be on the go, you know, visiting his clients, working in coffee shops. And that attorney discovered that the iPad was perfect for him because he was very nimble with the iPad's on-screen keyboard, and he discovered that he could get a ton of work done on, you know, at a Starbucks using the iPad with the virtual keyboard. He didn't even need a physical keyboard. And like me, he also, you know, figured out that if there's a document he needs on his work computer, all he has to do is remotely access the computer, and he's golden. And so the iPad has been a liberating productivity and business tool for such people.
But the whole idea of mobile power, where do you see this going in terms of the workforce? You know, with this generation and the one previous to it have always been big on telecommuting and technology efficiencies. I think to some extent the 9/11 and the economic downturn that occurred after that, and then the most recent economic downturn just with real estate being hammered. I just wonder, to what extent does all this mobile computing power do to a society 10 years from now? Is it less office space, more co-worker space, or more coffee shops?
Well, there's always been this dream. This dream has existed for a decade or more of, you know, people saying, "Now that I have a mobile computing device, I don't necessarily have to be in the office. I can work anywhere. That I like going to the office. I don't have a problem with that." But I've discovered that, you know, within the last half year or so, I've more and more and more gotten into the mode where I'm not paying attention to where I am physically. but to what I'm doing. And that could be at work, that could be at home, that could be on a trip, that could be at a coffee shop. And focus on what I need to get done, and the physical setting is diminishing greatly in importance. I use a Mac and an iPad, and I've set those up so that I can do everything that I need to do work related without depending, like for instance, on my office's, you know, physical computer network. I've set up, I have access to all my information anywhere, and so that, you know, work anywhere, telecommuting, you know, work in your pajamas dream is, it's a reality now. It's I think we're getting there.
I also think, to some extent, that if you look at the iPad or the any tablet computer is cheaper than a laptop computer. So to the extent that mobile computing actually puts technology and makes technology more affordable. You know, I originally thought from a consumer standpoint that the whole data smartphone entity was but product category was really driving a wedge between the haves and have-nots. But if, in fact, the workplace, the employer, is now able to put technology in the hands of more people because technology is, in fact, more affordable and more mobile, I wonder if this actually closes the technology gap between socioeconomic classes.
Yeah, I think we're moving in that direction. Apple tends to charge a premium for its product, so the iPad is less expensive than a laptop, but it's still a little on the pricey side.
Sure.
It's kind of a premium device, but sure. We're going to move very quickly to a scenario where fairly powerful tablet-like devices are going to cost very little. I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, and I got my first look at the Color Nook. This is a second-generation Nook that has a full LCD screen as opposed to the e-ink screen, and it runs on the Android operating system, and it's locked down. Barnes & Noble doesn't let people do a whole lot with it, but people have rooted it. They have unlocked it, and that device is very inexpensive compared to the iPad, and it's not as powerful as an iPad, but it can be used as, you know, as a full tablet like computing device. You know, even in lockdown form, you can access the browser just fine and get on the web. And so that is an early indication of where we're going, where people are going to, you know, get these fairly powerful tablet computer like devices for, you know, virtually nothing and be able to do, you know, quite a lot on them. And they don't even need to pay for internet access, you know, so they can just go look for free Wi-Fi somewhere.
Ah, yes, my kingdom for free Wi-Fi. That's what it's getting to be about. And that's why America runs on caffeine, because, not because they like coffee, because they need free Wi-Fi. We'll pick up our conversation with Julio in our next episode about how he uses social media as a reporter and provide some insights for PR folks and corporate communicators on how journalists are using social media to connect or not connect, as the case may be. And then we also get into a very touching story that Julio has about how he used Facebook to reconnect with family members. And so it's a very touching story, and I appreciate Julio for sharing it with us. On providentpartners.net/blog, we encourage your participation. Send us your questions, comments, and we will give a food item to a local food shelter here in St. Paul for every comment we get on the website, and any other medium for that matter, whether it's Facebook on my page on Facebook at Albert Marucci, or on Twitter following me at Albert Marucci. Thanks so much. Have a happy holiday season. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on The Marketing Edge.